You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, schools in many communities today are racially segregated. A guest says we need to learn what went wrong with busing in the past to desegregate schools today.
First, we're going to look south to states like North Carolina, Georgia, and Mississippi. Over the last few months, those states have come into the spotlight, especially as high-profile businesses and celebrities have boycotted or threatened to boycott them.
That's because they've all considered or passed what some call religious liberty laws, basically legislation that gives legal protections to businesses and faith-based organizations that refuse services to members of the LGBT community.
Opponents say the laws essentially make discriminating against gays and lesbians legal. Members of the business community have put pressure on states that have considered these laws after companies like Disney and Marvel threatened to stop filming in Georgia, and the NFL warned that Atlanta's bid as a site for the Super Bowl would be at risk. The Georgia governor announced that the bill would be vetoed.
More recently, celebrities like Bruce Springsteen and the band Pearl Jam have canceled shows in North Carolina to protest the religious liberty bill signed into law there.
Joining us now is David Graham. He's been following this issue. He covers U.S. politics and global news for The Atlantic. He's based out of North Carolina. David, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to first look at these laws, and let's look at the one in North Carolina in particular. It's a little different than some of the other laws that have been under this religious liberty label. Can you sum up the story there for us?
Sure. So the law in North Carolina was passed by the state legislature really in response to a city ordinance in Charlotte. And Charlotte passed this ordinance that was going to require schools and businesses to make transgender bathroom accommodations, and it also prohibited discrimination against LGBT people. And so then the state legislature called a special session and came in, and they passed this law in a day. And what it does is it prevents cities from passing those sorts of laws or ordinances. It prevents them from raising local minimum wages also, and it avoids the transgender, it avoids the transgender bathroom accommodations. So basically overturning the law in Charlotte and then also applying that to the rest of the state as well.
And then the other kind of law that's gotten a lot of attention and this kind of boycott or corporate pressure is what we've come to call the religious liberty type of law, effectively saying, hey, businesses, you won't be punished for discriminating against people based on your religious objections. Is that right?
Right, exactly. And these are the cases. What you hear most often is the examples of, say, a cake baker or a wedding photographer who doesn't want to provide a cake or take photos at a same-sex marriage.
And let's get into this boycott issue now. North Carolina, more than in other states, it seems like, has really been the subject of this. Why do you think North Carolina's got such attention?
I think that the bill has grabbed people for a couple of reasons. One is that it's a little bit different from some of these other religious freedom laws, like the one in Mississippi or like the one that was rejected in Georgia. We've seen those before when a similar law came up in Indiana last year. There were big veto threats or big boycott threats, rather. So you've gotten some of that, but this one is a little bit different, partly because it also, it bans these LGBT non-discrimination ordinances of all sorts. And I think that people see this as overreach, and they're trying to push back on it.
Well, talk us through first the entertainers. Who has said they're not going to play North Carolina?
You name it. I guess the biggest name is Bruce Springsteen, who canceled a concert in Greensboro a couple weeks ago. Ringo Starr announced he won't be playing a concert in Raleigh. Pearl Jam just canceled the show. Ani DeFranco, and those are the biggest names that I can remember, although there have been so many that it's hard to keep track of all of them. The other interesting thing is you have some artists who are consciously saying they will play North Carolina and will speak out. So Joel McHale, the comedian, played a show in Durham and donated all the proceeds to the local LGBT center. Or the band Against Me, which has a transgender lead singer, also announced they would be playing their show, and the lead singer said that she thought it was important that transgender artists show that they were not afraid and they would not stay away from the state.
As I understand it, some North Carolina activists who don't like this new law are also saying, hey, no, don't boycott us. Come here and draw attention to this issue. What have you been hearing there?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a real split in the state. If you look at the polling, it's pretty close to even, and there haven't been that many polls so far. But what you get across the state is really fairly progressive urban centers, and then much more conservative rural areas. And so the people in these urban centers are saying, listen, we agree with you, and we oppose the law, and we really think it's important that these artists come here and speak out. There was a column in the New York Times by a bookstore owner in Asheville, which is a fairly progressive city out in the west of the state. And, what she was saying was when we understand why authors want to cancel readings and events in the state, but if you aren't coming to a place like our bookstore in Asheville that, you know, supports progressive causes, you're really hurting us more than you're hurting the Republicans who run the state government, and that's really not helping things very much.
Has there been reaction from supporters of this new legislation to these entertainer boycotts?
Oh, absolutely. It's been pretty negative, I would say. I think my favorite reaction was a U.S. rep who's a Republican said, if Bruce Springsteen wasn't going to play in the state, he would go see the artists who were, and Justin Bieber is coming this spring. And he said, if Bieber who is the person who's coming, I'll go to the Bieber concert.
Might be a different show, The Boss versus the Beeb.
A little bit.
We're talking about religious liberty laws, North Carolina's new law overriding local anti-discrimination efforts, especially as they pertain to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender residents of the state, and in particular, boycotts surrounding them from entertainers and efforts from businesses, too. David Graham is with us from The Atlantic. He's been covering this. He's based in North Carolina, the center of this story right now. David, let's get to the business pressure. A lot of reaction after this law was passed. Direct pocketbook impact there in North Carolina.
That's right. And it's an interesting range of businesses. One, you've got some big businesses that are based in the state that have spoken out. Bank of America, I think, might be the most prominent one. And then you have other businesses that do business here and that are saying either they're reconsidering that or they won't go forward with expansions or they'll reconsider future plans. Deutsche Bank canceled an expansion. PayPal announced that it would not create a new center that was going to add 400 jobs in Charlotte. You've had also prominently the NBA said it was very concerned about the law ahead of the NBA All-Star Game for 2017, which is scheduled for Charlotte. The NCAA, which tends to hold pieces of its basketball tournament here, said it was reconsidering. And so you've got a wide range of businesses that have spoken out.
I'm going to look at that PayPal case because they were planning an opening thing in Charlotte, which is the city that had passed these protections, and their law was their ordinance was overridden by the state government. So in a way, they're getting their law changed and they're getting punished for what the state did, it sounds like.
That's very much the sense among people in Charlotte, that they are caught in the middle of this sort of thing, and they feel like the people who run the state don't understand the impact that it is on Charlotte. I spoke to the Charlotte mayor a couple weeks ago, and she said one thing that she feels like she needs to do is to communicate to state lawmakers that although those jobs may affect Charlotte directly, it's money into state coffers in the form of sales taxes and many other things, and that they need to understand that they're hurting not just Charlotte, but other places. What's weird about this is that Charlotte has a reputation within the state in some circles as being, not really of the state, a little bit too cosmopolitan, a little bit uppity, and not mixing in and too progressive. And so I think in some ways that makes it easier for lawmakers to smack it down with this law. And it also means that some people are less willing to speak up when Charlotte bears the brunt of boycotts like this.
In Indiana, we saw modifications to the religious liberty law after pressure from the NCAA. They've got a lot to say about Indiana there, the tourist industry. Georgia, we mentioned the governor vetoed a religious liberty law there after threatened no more filming from Disney, maybe no Super Bowl for Atlanta. Is there any sign that these entertainer boycotts or these business changes of plans are affecting the people who actually vote on this legislation in the state legislature?
It's unclear how much it is. I think it's definitely making a splash. The local news is just dominated by stories about what businesses are saying what and the economic impact and speculating on the economic impact and talking about these artist boycotts. The question is at what point that's enough to push the state to reverse. And I think one thing that's interesting about this is, in contrast to the Georgia law, which was pushed in a fairly deliberate process, and Governor Deal had a while to think about it, in which time Disney and others put some pressure on him to veto the bill, the North Carolina law was passed in a day. The legislative language was introduced after 10 o'clock one morning, and by 9 o'clock that night, the law was signed in, which meant there was no real time for that backlash to build ahead of time. Now it's happening after the fact, and I think that means it's a little bit slower process. But if the economy continues to suffer, I think it will definitely get people's attention. The other thing about that is North Carolina has really pushed to sort of establish itself as an alternative tech hub to places like Silicon Valley or Austin. This is the sort of thing that really drives tech companies away, and as more of those companies say they won't expand here or won't place jobs here, it makes it harder for the state to sort of maintain that reputation and build it.
Talking to David Graham, who covers U.S. politics and global news for The Atlantic, looking at boycotts, corporations deciding not to expand facilities, open new facilities in states like Mississippi and North Carolina based on things like religious liberty laws and overriding anti-discrimination laws in local governments.
And we want to hear from you. Do you think requiring faith-based organizations and businesses to serve members of the LGBT community infringes on religious freedoms? And what about these boycotts? Do you support the businesses and performers who are putting pressure on state governments, or are they hurting the people they're looking to help? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're picking up our conversation now with David Graham, who covers politics and global news for The Atlantic. And we're talking about boycotts of states that have passed laws letting faith-based organizations and businesses refuse service to gays and lesbians.
We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Should celebrities, bands like Bruce Springsteen, Pearl Jam, be boycotting, refusing to play in states that have passed religious liberty laws or, like North Carolina, overriding local anti-discrimination ordinances? Call in now, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Should high-profile businesses be putting pressure on state governments? So we've seen groups like NFL, PayPal, Disney threatening to pull business activity from various states after these laws are passed. And also local governments, state governments around the country, canceling all non-essential travel to some of these states. Call now, 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. David, before we go to our callers, this is an interesting new world, an interesting new realm for businesses taking this kind of public stance on these issues that I think in the past, not too distant past, would have been viewed as way too controversial to weigh in on.
That's right. I think it's really, it's been sort of breathtaking to see how quickly businesses have become a major force in these fights over LGBT rights. And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that many of them have LGBT employees and they feel like it's important to defend them. And so you've seen across the country that just big companies are a major force, really bigger, I suspect, than what any musician can do. It just gets the attention of policymakers to see these economic forces throwing their weight around.
We'll get to our callers now. We'll start with Sean in La Crosse. Sean, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I generally favor LGBTQ rights, but one scenario kind of, I think, bothers me to some degree, and that is in the event that you have a small, closely held business, let's say a bakery owned by mom and pop, let's say, and mom and pop both have closely held religious beliefs about homosexuality and what the Bible tells them about that. And you have a homosexual couple wanting a wedding cake. What, I guess, is the alternative for the bakery owners? Would they have to either make that wedding cake or be sued in the submission? Now, I'm aware of the Hobby Lobby case, of the Supreme Court case that talked about the fact that closely held corporations such as Hobby Lobby can discriminate for religious reasons. I don't know if that would protect these smaller businesses or whether we're saying, you know, look, mom and pop, get out of the bakery business.
Sean, thanks for the call. And David, he's getting to a lot of issues that people are bringing up in this discussion. And first, let's talk about that, you know, that bakery example. That's actually one that has been an example. Is that the kind of argument we're hearing in a lot of states about the need for people making the case for religious liberty laws?
Right. That's exactly the case. Is you've got these cases, and I think, you know, we see these laws coming up really in the wake of the Supreme Court striking down any law that banned gay marriage. So suddenly you see states saying, well, now we have people who oppose gay marriage and don't really want to be, you know, supporting it, who feel like they're being dragged into it, and they need some sort of insulation in the form of laws that basically allow them to opt out of those kind of cases. The folks on the other side say, you can't just deny service to people. If you're in business, you're in business. You can't deny service to a black person because for whatever reason, and so you shouldn't be able to, you know, deny it to a gay person either. The question of what's a sincere religious belief and how that applies is, you know, very much still on the legal table, and there's a variety of different cases going on.
Sean also brought up the Hobby Lobby case, and that was related to the Affordable Care Act and whether a company could be required to provide contraception if, as he said, it's a family business or closely held business and it's against their religious beliefs. Is that something that's melding into this argument at all, David?
It's certainly something that's voiced. You know, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not. I don't want to speak in a way that anyone would take
sure.
my advice in court. I do think one key difference there is the Hobby Lobby case concerns what companies have to provide to their employees in terms of birth control and other things, whereas this is a case of what services a business has to provide to the general public.
Sean, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234, talking to David Graham at The Atlantic about boycotts of states that have passed various types of laws, religious liberty laws, protections for businesses that don't want to do business with lesbians, gays, transgender people based on their religious beliefs. Also, the North Carolina law overriding local anti-LGBT discrimination ordinances. 800-642-1234 is a number. Doreen is with us next in Saukville. Doreen, hi.
Yeah, hi, guys. I stand with the states. I think they should stand strong for God. This is all about God, and I think all Christians out there should stand strong and stick up for their beliefs, because the devil's out there, and a lot of people just want to take God. Our country was formed on God.
Doreen, thanks for that call. And David, is this similar to what you're hearing in North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways the North Carolina legislators who backed this law have framed in a slightly more specific way, which is that these transgender rules are really appalling and that they don't want men in women's restrooms, basically. I think that's maybe a little bit of a simplification of the cases in question. But often, yeah, that's the question that they bring it down to, is this is simple morality and men shouldn't be in women's restrooms.
And yeah, the whole bathroom argument, the characterization of this as a bathroom bill, is that something that was really front and center in the debate over this, even though the particular law did things besides that?
I think it was. And, it looks to me like that may have been a strategic choice. If you look at whether support for LGBT non-discrimination rules, it tends to be very high. People have come around fairly quickly on gay rights and don't like those sorts of things. They're still much, you know, they're tentative on transgender issues. They don't understand them as well. They don't know what the situation is. And so it's much easier, I think, to pass a transgender bill, even in a place like Houston, where this came up for a vote. Houston's a fairly liberal city, and yet when there was a vote, this transgender bathroom accommodation was defeated. Transgender advocates say that there's really a lot of education that needs to be done. People don't understand transgender issues, and as a result, laws like this are more likely to pass.
Doreen, thanks for your call. We'll go now to Kurt in Chippewa Falls. Kurt, hi.
Yeah, the whole argument of the Carolina legislature is based on a theory of religious liberty. How would those folks react, say, if there was a member of a Christian denomination that considers blood transfusion to be sinful and wrong, and if that person is working in an ambulance service or first responders, and they refuse to give blood transfusions to somebody who was injured in an accident on the basis of their religious liberty?
Kurt, thanks for the call. Are people making those analogies, David?
I have not heard that specific analogy. I do think that there's been a strong sort of Christian sense to the North Carolina legislature over the last few years. There was an anti-Sharia bill similar to ones we've seen in other places. There was even a brief and ill-fated effort to enshrine Christianity as the official religion of the state. And so that's a very important element to all these laws, is the Christian morality underlying it.
Time for one more brief call with Susan and Shawno. Susan, hi.
Hi, I'm a pastor and just want to remind people that there are lots of Christians who are LGBT and also allies, and that we believe Jesus called us to invite, calls us to love those with whom we disagree.
Susan, thanks for the call. David, the faith communities in North Carolina, are they lining up on both sides of this issue?
They are, absolutely. And what you see is there are many very progressive congregations that have spoken very strongly against the law. And they've, you know, they're hanging prayer flags or pride flags. They've done really many things to speak out against it. So there is a split between different denominations and different churches across the state.
Before we wrap up, just briefly, David, a lot of national outcry. Is this seen, though, as a done deal in North Carolina, or is this still a hot topic for debate there?
It's very much a hot topic, and I think people are waiting to see how much more pressure comes and whether and when it's enough for legislators to decide that they need to either repeal the law or amend it in some way that will satisfy and mollify its critics and maintain both the moral dimensions that people care so much about and also avoids discrimination.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's David Graham. He covers U.S. politics and global news for The Atlantic. He's based in North Carolina. He talked to us about recent boycotts from entertainers, some companies of states like North Carolina that have passed laws allowing faith-based organizations and businesses to refuse service to the LGBT community, or like North Carolina, override local anti-discrimination laws in states like North Carolina.